opportunity that God blessed us with, that we could assemble together in a fashion like this and worship Him in spirit and truth. He has blessed us today on any given day, regardless of our circumstances, whether we think it's good or bad, our cup truly runs over, and we ought to be thankful for everything that God blesses us with. He far blesses us greater than we could ever be deserving of. Do you agree with that? It's good to see each and every one of you. I put the title of the lesson on the board before you this evening, Pleasing to God. I hope that our endeavor in life and everything that we do is always to be pleasing to God and not man. You know, there's a lot of ways in which we can be pleasing to others, and we certainly ought to have the interest of others in our minds. The book of Philippians talks about that. The book of Colossians talks about that in other places. And it takes time and it takes consideration on our part to be mindful of others. It takes that in order to be pleasing to God. We understand that. God expects us to be interested in the affairs of others. But ultimately, we are to be pleasing to God. And if we please those around us to the exclusion of pleasing God, it is to no avail whatsoever. Especially come the judgment day, we're lost, and all of that would certainly be to our detriment, not to our benefit. So everything that we do in this life ought to be pleasing to Him. You heard read in your presence a moment ago from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Over in 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Paul talked about being a servant of Christ in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. And he said, I won't be a servant of Christ if I seek to please men. You know, pleasing God has probably widespread consequences, more so than what we think. It has eternal consequences, but even in this life, when the wise man penned in Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, it causeth even his enemies to be at peace with him. You have folks who are not at rest with you, not at peace with you. Think about your ways, whether they're pleasing the Lord or not. I want to start there, each of us. So I'd like for us to think about this evening just some very simple things that the Bible says is pleasing to God. You know, it's much like any other Bible topic that we think about. If I don't open up the pages of the Bible, there's no way that I would know these things. You know, I know we can look at and we can see creation, that it attests to the fact that there is a Creator. Design always demands, without exception, a designer. So when I look out and I see the universe, I see the things that were created, and I see the order and the perfect harmony in which all of those things work together, I know that there has to be a designer, a creator that made all those things. But that tells me nothing about how to please Him. It tells me nothing about how to come unto Him, how to live a life that would be pleased unto Him so that I can be in heaven when life is over. In fact, all the things that I see in this life tell me nothing about heaven and how to obtain that, does it? I mean, looking out at the trees, all that might attest to the fact that there's a Creator. Tells me nothing about heaven. Tells me nothing about hell. Tells me nothing about living the Christian life. We are completely dependent upon the Bible for that instruction, right? And so when it comes to a lesson like this evening, pleasing to God, there's no way that I would know how to please God. There's no way that I would know what things please the Lord if I did not have His revelatory word, His word that's been given to us. So let's think about some of those things this evening. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 21, a passage that I used not too long ago as we talked about the Word of God and a passage that you're familiar with. But notice that the Bible says, begin with verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and destroy or bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now watch verse 21 for our first point. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. What pleased God? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Then he goes on and makes some more comments about preaching the gospel. And so what pleased God? Preaching the gospel. You know, we talk about often Romans chapter 1 verse 16 that the gospel, and that is the good news, that's what gospel means. The good news of Christ is a power that God employs to save men and women today. Romans 1, 16, 17. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 4, as Paul is writing to the church of Christ at Thessalonica, he said, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." So our proclamation of the gospel needs to be done so with the idea in mind that we want to please God and not men. As I left the final thoughts of the sermon with you this morning, 2 Timothy 4 and then verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine." And so we need to please God by preaching the gospel as the Bible reveals to us that the proclamation of the gospel pleases Him. But also as you think about things that please God, come over to the book of Hebrews with me in chapter 11 and notice with me verse 6. You know this verse, don't you? "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. You know, chapter 6, or verse 6 rather, like any other Bible passage, only makes sense in the context in which it's found. By the way, one of the very basic fundamental rules to Bible study is examining the what? The context. Shell talked about that this morning in one of his points of the Bible class, the context of which a passage is found. If we don't do that, we'll certainly abuse the text. In Hebrews chapter 11, he's given all these examples of individuals who, chapter 11 verse 13 says, that they died in faith. They kept the faith. They did what was pleasing to the Lord. And in verse 6, when he says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him," what came just before that? Well, a little statement made about Enoch in verse 5. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation," now watch this, "he had this testimony." What was his testimony? What did he leave behind when he was gone? How did he live his life before others? What was his actions and his lifestyle, his manner of living? Here's the kicker: that he pleased God. Wouldn't you like for that to be said about you? Wouldn't you like for that testimony, it's called in verse 5 of Hebrews 11, to be etched on your tombstone? His testimony was he pleased God. Can you think of anything better? It's important that we please God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Mark 16, verse 16, the Lord said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, as we go on to get our third point, of things which please God, preaching the gospel pleases God. Faith must be had if we're to please God. But also in Colossians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." It's talking about Jesus. God put all things under the feet of Jesus, gave Him to be head over all, to the body which is the church. Now watch verse 19. "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." It pleased God to put Jesus as head over the church, that in Him all fullness would dwell in Matthew 28:18. The Bible says, as Jesus, after he was resurrected, he said, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." That's authority. He has all authority. How much does that leave for me or you? Any? Shake or nod? None whatsoever. In other words, I'm not the standard. I've told people, and I'll say it again, it bears repeating, you can become a Christian, you can live a Christian, die a Christian, and go to heaven without ever knowing who Donnie Oliver is. But you'll never get to heaven without knowing Christ. We must know Him. Acts 4, verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." In 1 Peter 3, and then verse 22, talking again about Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. What pleased God? That in Christ all fullness would dwell. Number four, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Let's go back to verse 15, get a better sense of the context. The Bible says, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." We just did that a moment ago. As we sang these hymns of praise unto God. Now watch verse 16. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not." Why on earth should I be interested in about doing good? Communicating well. Not forgetting about those things. Being mindful of those things. Well, notice the rest of it. "For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it's stated concerning Jesus that He went about doing good. "As we have opportunity, therefore, let us do good unto all men." Galatians 6 and then verse 10. Acts 2 and then verse 42. As we read about those first Christians that obeyed the gospel message on that day of Pentecost, that they stood steadfast on the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. They stood fast in those things. And a lot of other passages talk about doing good and communicate and render different ways in the Bible. Romans 15, 26, 1 Corinthians 10, 16, 2 Corinthians 8, 4, and Philippians rather, chapter 1, verse 5. Sermon outlines are in the back if you miss any of those. But also as we think about pleasing God, I want to suggest to you that supporting evangelism pleases God. And you do that here. I think we mentioned that in a recent sermon, but you're aware of that. You support a full-time preacher. You support Juan Canella and Chile so that he can do that work not only in Colombia and Chile, that area, but also in Australia. You support Ross Triplett. Lives in Oklahoma and labors full-time. The Lord's work there. Both of those reports, by the way, for those men are kept on the bulletin board in the back if you want to read about their work. We try to keep that updated. Forgive me if I miss one along the way. Mark, by the way, it's not his fault. He always gets those to me. It's my fault for not getting them on the board. But then also, the men here, and you decided to support Keith Greer as he's getting ready to make another trip to the Philippines this fall, I believe, and laboring that work. And so you're to be commended for that. You're putting the Lord's resources to a good work. You know who's pleased with that? I'm thankful you do that, but you know who's pleased with it? The Lord. Let me give you some references that talk about that. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is writing to those that Philippi, and notice what he says, and begin with verse 15, verses 15 through 20 of Philippians chapter 4. He says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit, that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Did you get that? Well-pleasing to who? To God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Whose fruit was it? Whose account would it abound toward? Go back and notice what he says. 17 again. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Think of that. The labor that goes on here is to your account. You support that. The work in Oklahoma and South America, that abounds to your account. You support that work. The souls that be won to the Lord in the Philippines, you have a hand in that. That's to your account. I don't know how many. I think it was well over 100, the last trip that was made of individuals that were baptized in, I think it was a 3-week period. When you labor together in that, you're supporting that, and that's to your account. And who's well pleased with it? God. Who knows if those individuals who obeyed the gospel under the preaching of Ross Triplett and Juan Connell and Keith Greer, who knows if they would have obeyed if they hadn't heard that message from those men? I don't know. But I'm thankful that they heard it and they obeyed. And you support that work. Mark 16:15. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and teach all nations, the Lord said a parallel to that in Matthew 28 and in verse 19. And 1 Corinthians 9. And then verse 14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And I appreciate the fact that, by the way, that you support me on a regular basis. I appreciate that. But also as we think about things that are pleasing to the Lord, not only supporting evangelism, but the young ones, I want you to listen to this. Come with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. The young and the old ones alive, but especially our young ones. Children, obey your parents in all things. Now, sometimes that's not always easy. I know that. I know that parents can be hard. I know that firsthand. It's easy to be hard because you want what's best for your children. And sometimes we're probably a little too hard. Right? It's later on in life that you realize that perhaps. But it's because we care. It's because your parents care. Because they've been there. I don't think I'm so far removed from being a child that I've forgotten what it was like to be a child. Don't ask Ethan if I'm so how far removed I am. You might think it's been years and years and years. But notice this. Children, obey your parents in all things. Not some things, not a few things, not when it's just easy. But in all things. Why? For this is, what is it? Well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Children, obey mom and dad. They want what's best for you. They want you to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and become a Christian and live a Christian life that you can go to heaven when life is over. So honor your parents. Love them for the work that they're trying to do. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Also, Paul speaks to that topic. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You're interested in doing what's right, right? So obey your parents. Sometimes we really don't value, we don't realize the value that our parents have until they're gone. Then you really do miss them. So obey your parents in the Lord, because it's the right thing to do. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Even Jesus, as C.L. brought out the text of Luke chapter 2 this morning in the Bible class, when he was separated for a period of time from them, they found him in the temple. Remember that? You know what the Bible says as they went back home concerning him? That he was subject unto them. And then he grew and so forth. He was subject unto his parents. What an example. And the young boy of Jesus, 12 years old. Bruising of Jesus, number 7, it pleased God. This one, we come back to the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 53. Notice what the Bible says as we think about pleasing God. Isaiah 53 verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Chapter 53 of Isaiah is a messianic chapter of the Old Testament. And it pleased the Lord for Jesus to do the things that he did. Jesus even said himself, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, John 4 and then verse 35. And he did that. John 17 and John 19 bear that out. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 15, as Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia, notice what he states, Galatians chapter 3 and then verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. He talks about Jesus being crucified earlier in the chapter, and the fact that Jesus was the seed that was promised to come. Galatians chapter 3. Who did it please? The Father. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20. But with the precious blood of Christ, talking about what we are redeemed by, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. By the way, verse 20 is a powerful reference to knock the props out from under the false doctrine that Jesus setting up the church was just accidental. It wasn't foreseen by the Lord, that God did not know that the Jews were going to reject Jesus. Notice what it says again. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. That means that was in the eternal mind of God before the world was even created. God knew what was going to happen. He knew, didn't mean that he forced, but he knew what man would do. He knew how that he was going to reconcile man into himself before he even laid the foundation of the world. Isn't that something? Who did it please? God to bruise. Jesus, the Savior. Hope that this little lesson has been of benefit to you as we think about things which please God. Let's always be concerned with that which pleases God. Maybe you're in the audience this evening and have never obeyed the gospel of Christ. I shared it with you this morning. I'll share it with you again. You must hear the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you have